In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 296. Talk today about how to get the most out of your time when it comes to learning about the stuff you and I are interested in. History and economics and philosophy and liberty and all this stuff. There's so much you could read. There's so much you could listen to. It's never ending. The amount of it is overwhelming. And a lot of us want to get to a point where we feel like we're really, really in command of this material, that we could hold our own in a debate, that we could persuade people of our point of view. But my gosh, where do you even start? And in fact, it seems so overwhelming that you almost are tempted not to start, that it's too much. You're busy. Everybody has a life. You've got work. You have other obligations. How are you going to learn the stuff that in an ideal world, you might want to learn? So what I thought I'd do today is share with you some tips for how you might go about this in the least painful way, right? The least pain possible, the least expenditure of time and energy, and yet get the most bang for your buck. That's what I want to talk about today. So I have narrowed this down to five ways of doing this. Now, by the way, I'm going to be mentioning a lot of books and resources and stuff, and thanks to the new site that I have, you don't have to jot anything down. The only thing you have to remember is that this is episode 296. So all you'll have to do to get all the notes from today's episode is go to tomwoods.com/296. Unbelievable. Finally, we have the new tomwoods.com. We're not using the Schiff Radio page for the show anymore. You'll get the show at tomwoods.com. On the podcast page, you'll see it right there at tomwoods.com. And so for the individual episodes starting today, and eventually we'll go back and fix the other links, but starting today, I'll say it's episode number X, and then you just go to tomwoods.com/whatever episode number it is, and there you go, all these wonderful resources, so you don't have to get into an accident trying to jot down things or anything like that. A wonderful show notes page awaits you, along with a YouTube version of this episode, an MP3 link. Some people were just watching the show on YouTube, actually, when generally it's an audio show, and it's primarily intended for download on an MP3 or via iTunes or whatever, but now you can easily get MP3 downloads on the site. It's great. And I do want to thank Studio One Design, which I used to create. They did all the work. They created this new TomWoods.com. It's a beauty. Check it out. It's wonderful. And if I can't recommend them highly enough, it's Studio, then the number one, and then the word design, StudioOneDesign.com. They have agreed to give a 10% discount to any of you guys who are interested in having a website designed or any design work, a logo or anything like that. They'll give you 10% off if you go to StudioOneDesign.com/Woods. It's an offer for you listeners. StudioOneDesign.com/Woods. I'm thrilled with the new site. All right. So don't bother writing anything down. Just go to TomWoods.com/296. All right. The first thing involves books. There really is no substitute for reading. But what books should you read? To me, the key thing is how much information is in the book. I can't stand spending time reading a book, and at the end, I've gotten 3 points out of it, and the rest was fluff. I can't stand that. And in fact, in acquiring what knowledge I have read very widely in a number of different fields, and not generally books that are just libertarian books per se, but books written, you know, by mainstream people. And I'll read them, and I'll get, a few points here and there. a few points that might be beneficial for an argument I'm making or help me understand the world a little bit better. And this is kind of a hit or miss strategy. So what I've tried to do in my own writing is to take the stuff that I've gleaned from all this reading and condense it and just give it to people and say, so that you don't have to spend 30 or 40 hours to get 5 points the way I did. Here are the 5 points. You can get them in 10 minutes. That's really what I'm trying to do. And so what I want to recommend for you are books that do exactly that, that are just packed with information. You know, no book written by a talk show host or anything like that, where there's going to be nothing but fluff. Just awful. Ghost written anyway. You don't want that. You want the real books that are packed with information. You will not feel like your time is wasted. I want to give you some specific examples, but I'll have a whole bunch of them at tomwoods.com/what? 296. All right, the first one, you guys, some of you guys won't be interested in because you're not interested in the Constitution. I understand that. But this book shows you how to take 80,000 words, which sounds like a lot, by the way, but it's not. 80,000 words is a pretty short book. Take 80,000 words and completely overturn the conventional wisdom on something and be packed with information. Like, this is a revisionist history of the U.S., The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution by Kevin Gutzman. The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution is a great example of what I'm talking about. You will learn something on every single page of this book. And, as I say, it smashes to smithereens the conventional wisdom on a whole variety of topics because it's written from a Jeffersonian perspective. Almost all books on the Constitution, and I include here books written by right-wing radio patriots who are going to save us from Obama. They all write books on the Constitution from an Alexander Hamilton, John Marshall perspective. All of them without fail. If you studied the Constitution via the course over at Hillsdale College, and I, by the way, I have friends at Hillsdale College. In no way do I intend to put it down, but you'll get the same sort of thing, or the Heritage Foundation Guide to the Constitution. It's going to be all the same kind of predictable Joseph Story, Daniel Webster, John Marshall kind of interpretation, a nationalist, centralizing interpretation of the Constitution that has no basis in fact. It is based in fantasy only. It is poetry, not sense, as H.L. Mencken said. Kevin's, on the other hand, is Jeffersonian through and through, decentralist through and through, from page one to the very end. It's incredible. It's a thrilling achievement. That's the kind of book I'm talking about. Or how about for beginners? You got somebody who's slightly interested in what you're saying, and you think, all right, I got one chance to hook this person in. What am I going to do? Well, I recommend Ron Paul's book, The Revolution, A Manifesto, because it's short, less than 200 pages, but again, it packs a punch. There's information on every page that you've never heard before. And I have heard from many people that they went from being neoconservatives or left liberals or whatever to being libertarians by reading that book, especially the foreign policy chapter, where you're going to meet the most resistance with conservatives. I always recommend to people when they say, what should I have my conservative friend read so he won't think I'm some pinko commie who hates the troops or something? What do I have this person read? I always say The Revolution, A Manifesto. So I would recommend that, again, as an example of a book by a politician that isn't fluff. It's substance. Or how about this? Honing your arguments is also important. It's not enough just to have a lot of knowledge in your head. It's important to hone your arguments, to really know how to respond when somebody says to you, look, you jerk, you've consented to the government. Why, you're still standing there. Doesn't that prove that you've consented? And so on and so forth. You have to know how to answer arguments like this. You have to know how to respond to arguments like this. And there's a brand new book, because some of the books I'll be telling you about are kind of old-ish. There's a brand new book from just the past year that I can't recommend to you enough. I've had the author on this show twice now, And you know what? You know what? How about in my show notes page, why don't I link you to the two previous times? I'm going to take notes on this. Why don't I link you to the two previous times I had this guy on? See, now that I have show notes, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I don't know what to do with myself here. So I'll link you to the two times Michael Humer's been on the show. But Michael Humer has a book. He's a philosopher at the University of Colorado at Boulder, of all places. And unfortunately, it has a philosopher's title. And I understand he's got to pitch this to other philosophers, right? It can't have some extremely provocative title. I understand that. It has a boring philosopher's title. The Problem of Political Authority, An Examination of the Right to Coerce and the Duty to Obey. Don't let that dull title fool you. This book is original, exciting, it's very convincing. It's a relentless assault by a philosopher on the standard arguments for government. Either tacit consent, you know, hey, you've consented to what the government does because you're living here and you're enjoying the benefits. Or, hey, we voted to do such and such, so that makes it okay. Or whatever it is. He has a way of responding with the most beautiful, well-thought-out analogies, where you realize that you would never accept this logic in any other situation except when it comes to government. So very, very persuasive, very interesting, fun to read. Can you believe that? A book by a philosopher, fun to read? So The Problem of Political Authority, you got to read that one. Now here's another example. Again, this is not a big picture book. I don't mean it does. I'm not talking about it has pictures in it. None of these do. I mean, this is not one of these books like Ron Paul's book or a Murray Rothbard book that gives you the whole big picture of liberty. You should read books like that. But again, I want to give you examples of books that overturn the conventional wisdom convincingly and in a way that packs a punch, that every page you're learning something. You're not flipping and flipping saying, when am I going to get to something I don't already know? And that book is Civil Rights, Rhetoric or Reality by Thomas Sowell. I think this is his most underrated book. I never hear anybody talk about it. People talk about A Conflict of Visions. They'll talk about his Basic Economics book. They'll talk about Knowledge and Decisions. They might even talk about Markets and Minorities. But I never hear anybody talk about Civil Rights, Rhetoric or Reality. And that's a shame because it is a fantastic book. As a matter of fact, I think on Amazon, you can, and by the way, the Amazon widget is still there on the new site. You got to scroll down a little, but you'll see that Amazon widget you can do to help out the show. If you go through Amazon to Civil Rights, Rhetoric, or Reality, that product page, you probably will still see my book review from the year 2001. It's still there, I think. I love this book. It overturns everything you thought you knew about this subject. For example, the typical claims that income differences between racial groups are the result of discrimination, or discrimination causes poverty, or political action is how an oppressed group lifts itself out of poverty. Well, and so on and so forth. I mean, many, many, many other claims. And Sowell just goes through systematically and oftentimes using an international comparison, saying, well, look at these groups in these other countries. They didn't use political activity, and look what happened to them. Whereas these who did actually fell behind. They continued to lag behind. Or look at these various oppressed groups that, and he gives example of the Chinese minority in Malaysia that were officially discriminated against in the Malaysian constitution, had all these other disabilities, and they still outperformed the majority, etc. I mean, he's got a ton of stuff like this. It's an extraordinary book. It's a great example of what I'm talking about, a book that you'll put that down and say, I got to read this again to absorb it all. By no means was this a waste of my time. This is like the equivalent of 10 books, and yet the length of it is like a half a book. Okay, this is what I'm talking about, and I'm going to keep updating you guys as I come across more books that are like this. I'm going to keep talking to you about them. I'll tell you one book or one author who really helped to put things together for me is Hans Hermann Hoppe. Hoppe is H-O-P-P-E. Now, Hoppe has a number of books. His book on democracy, I think, was the book that tipped the scales for me and made me into a full-fledged Rothbardian. But the book that really excited me the most when I first read it, again, has a boring title. Hans Hermann Hoppe, The Economics and Ethics of Private Property. You think, what on earth? Why would I want to read this? I'm telling you, because you just do. Okay, you just do. Now, it's in a second edition now. It's fatter now. It's in a second edition, so it might not be as punchy. I don't know if it's as punchy as it was when it was meaner and leaner when I read the first edition in the early 1990s. But this book covers so much ground, and again, in not a lot of space. Just one chapter on banking nation states and international politics, a sociological reconstruction of the present economic order. All right, again, very technical sounding. This chapter alone is going to start you with people bartering in the most primitive economy, and then step by step move you through civilization toward a period of the use of money, the development of international trade, and eventually you get into banking and modern banking, and he step by step analyzes it and shows you exactly how we got to where we are now, how we could have anticipated that we are where we are now, because certain false principles came to be accepted. He has a chapter in here on Marxist class analysis, and he says, you know what? The class analysis in Marx is actually not wrong in its fundamentals. What's wrong about it is it points the finger at the wrong place. But Hoppe will say, yes, of course there is an exploitative class. Yes, there is oppression of one class by another. There is a tendency toward concentration and centralization on the part of the exploiting class. But the exploiting class is not the commercial class. It's not the bourgeoisie. It's the state itself. That is the exploiting class. Everybody else is the exploited class. And as I think Hans points this out, but if he didn't, he should have. I'm pretty sure he does, that the great class analysis that we see done by the French liberals of the 19th century pointed out exactly this, that there were opposing classes in society, but that these opposing classes were the result of artificial intervention. There's no reason that in society there would be classes that in general are opposed to each other. This is introduced by the state itself. Because classes that latch onto the state apparatus itself, combine against the rest of the public. Anyway, there's so much valuable in The Economics and Ethics of Private Property. Again, just in the way you will understand things, you will say, I am so glad I read this book. So there are a number of others. Everybody should read Economics in One Lesson and so on and so forth by Henry Hazlitt. There are a number of Rothbard books I will put on the in the show notes or link to you, link for you, because of course you should read Murray Rothbard. But that's what I mean. Read books that are going to be packed with information. Incidentally, I will say that I do try to do that in my own books. I mean, whatever criticism people have ever had of my books, you notice nobody ever says it's just fluff, there's no real substance here. Like, you can criticize me on a lot of grounds, but you can't say there's no information in these books. I'm trying to help people by saying, look, I did all this reading, and I've distilled it into this one book, so you don't have to do all this reading. And in a way, by the way, the work I'm doing for the Ron Paul Homeschool Program at ronpaulhomeschool.com is like that. I'm, like my government course, for example, 90 lessons. What I'm trying to do is take pretty much everything I know, if I could put it that way, and try and distill it into one course, so that instead of the student having to read everything I read and go to all that trouble, here's what I learned from the reading. Here's what I learned from thinking about it and from the study. This is what I learned. This is the most streamlined presentation I can do. All right, the other ones are going to go much faster than that one. But the second point would be, understand what the purpose of each book is. For example, if you're going to take the time to read all the way through Human Action by Mises, or even more, a better example than Human Action really is Man, Economy, and State by Murray Rothbard. Understand what the purpose of that book is. It's to give you the big picture of the economy, how it works, what the structure of production is, what interest rates are, the relationship between the structure of production and interest rates, the function of money, all kinds of questions like this technical economic analysis. If you're reading that book and you're thinking, well, as soon as I put this book down, I'll be able to go out and answer all my friends, you have mistaken the purpose of this book. Because most of your friends will not, frankly, be at a level where they're even going to know about the controversies that Rothbard is dealing with in Man, Economy, and State. If you're looking for a book that's going to help equip you to answer criticisms of the market economy, then in the short run, you should read Making Economic Sense by Rothbard. That's a bunch of short articles on a great variety of topics where Rothbard applies Austrian economic analysis to various issues. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for Man, Economy, and State. Eventually, though, it's great to read Man, Economy, and State. I don't want to be thought of as discouraging people from doing that. You should do that. But understand that you're going to walk away from that understanding the world, understanding how the economy works. You're going to understand the structure of production. You're going to understand these things at a level that you did not understand them before. But these are not written in chapters that are designed to equip you to go out and win a debate. They're designed to equip you with a framework in which to think about these issues. So don't be disappointed after you put in all this effort. That's not what that book is for, primarily. Now, next thing should be obvious, use audiobooks for when you're on the go. Now, some people don't like listening to things when they're on the go. They'd rather listen to music, and I'm that way a lot of the time, too. I don't get that much time to listen to music, so sometimes I like to do that while I'm driving. But if I'm on a particularly long drive, I don't want to feel like I'm totally wasting my time. So I've certainly downloaded a lot of materials from the Mises Institute, and of course, you can listen to podcasts and learn a lot from podcasts. That's true, too. But an audiobook is also a good way to go, especially when it's something that you know you've gotten good recommendations on. People have told you that you'll learn a lot about it. You know it won't be a waste of your time. So definitely the audiobook option is worth looking into. I have a number of my own books on audiobook, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, 33 Questions About American History. Several others I know are on Meltdown, I know is on audiobook. I know Real Dissent, my new book, is on audiobook because I narrated it myself. Realdescent.com is that landing page I set up for that. And there is an offer where you can actually get a free audiobook if you haven't already. You're entitled to one free audiobook via TomWoodsAudio.com. And I know you guys like audio because you're listening to me right now. So consider making that part of your routine, getting an audiobook a month or on some kind of regular basis, and you can kick that off with a free one at TomWoodsAudio.com. But I've really come to enjoy audiobooks myself. Another thing would be courses. There are so many outlets for online courses right now with material that you can get either for free or practically free. Now, of course, if you're looking for something that's going to be taught, let's say, by a libertarian, well, then the market is a little slimmer, but it's not altogether non-existent. And the benefit of a course is that what you're learning is very structured. You won't have to go looking around for what you should read or what's reliable or what's going to teach you what subject. That's the professor's job. That work has already been done for you. So it makes sure that the listening that you're doing when you're on the road is guided properly. And it's not just hit or miss. It's not aimless. It's not, well, I better listen to a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Maybe I'll pick something up. The benefit of a course is that somebody designed it. And I know some of you libertarians are saying, oh, no, Woods, no, it's wonderful when things aren't designed. Yeah, I know. But look, some things have to be designed, right? An iPad had to be designed. You had to have a guy designing an iPad. Likewise, a course, it doesn't emerge spontaneously. Some mind has to be applied to it. Of course, you all know I do have a site, libertyclassroom.com, where I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to convey a lot of information in an easy-to-digest form, that information that I think a lot of people would like to have, but we weren't taught in school. So you know you can find that at libertyclassroom.com. And of course, the courses that I've prepared for the Ron Paul homeschool program, if you are interested in those and you want to get them just a la carte without joining the Ron Paul program, there's tomwoodshomeschool.com. These are for high school students, but any adult could take them and not have his intelligence insulted. I've gotten very good feedback from people saying they're really enjoying the courses. So don't don't feel embarrassed about getting them. I mean, I basically devised them at an adult level so that everybody could benefit from them. Then my last tip would be find out, I mean, really ask yourself. You probably do a lot of reading like I do, online reading. You probably read a lot of the same people over and over again. Ask yourself, which one or which handful of these people do I learn from the best? Either because the person has an easy-to-understand style or an enjoyable style or conveys a lot of information, whatever it is. And it could be anybody from Peter Schiff to Murray Rothbard to, it doesn't matter, Thomas Sowell, any of these people, a variety of others. Find out which people do you learn from best. And now that we have the internet and you can get an archive of that person's columns very easily, or you can, at the click of a mouse, get the entire literary collection of that person. Just order it and boom, it'll be at your house in 2 days. Do that. Find a teacher, in effect, that you like. And if you know you learn effectively from this person, why not learn more? Why not learn the whole package? Think of how much you'll advance then studying under, in effect, studying under somebody whose work you enjoy, whom you respect, whom you, you know, you like to read, you like to learn from. That would be another piece of advice. That will also make sure that your time is well spent because you yourself have already vetted this person. You yourself already have long experience with this person. So it's highly unlikely that this expenditure of your time is going to turn out to be wasteful. All right, so those are my tips. Now, I'm thinking that in 2015, when things start to lighten up for me, now, I'm not exactly sure when that's going to be. I can't make promises. I know that by March 2015, the rigor of doing these Ron Paul homeschool courses is going to lessen a bit, and that'll be nice. We are planning to do a little traveling over the summer. So it's hard to know how 2015 is going to shape up for me, but my hope is one of the things I want to start adding to the Tom Woods bag of goodies for my supporting listeners, supportinglisteners.com is that site, is I want to start doing some summaries of some of the great classics of libertarian literature. Some of the great classics, I will talk about the key arguments and then offer my own commentary. And that'll be another way that you can maximize your bang for your buck, because you can just listen to my summary with my commentary and say to yourself, this sounds like a book I'd like to read. This sounds like a book I'd like to listen to in its entirety. Or you could say, all right, I think I got the gist of this. I think I've got the real meat of that book. I think I'll spend my time reading something else. So either way, I think it will also help you to use your time as wisely as possible. So that's another benefit I'm hoping to add over there. Remember, for everything I mentioned in this episode, check out tomwoods.com/296. tomwoods.com/296. Notice that that means that Friday is our 300th episode. How about that? 300 episodes. I've got a whole list of them, by the way, tomwoods.com/episodes. That's coming up Friday. We're going to have David Stockman joining us for that. That's going to be fantastic. And, you know, incidentally, what I'm trying to do with the show is make the show punchy and full of information. Like, I want to get that guest on and squeeze as much information out of that guest as I possibly can in the 25 to 30 minutes that I have that guest. That's what I'm trying to do so that the show is also something that you feel like is not wasting your time. You feel like this is time well spent. Well, I will tell you one thing about a free ebook that I made available. Some of you already have it. But I love doing the show, and I'm always so pleased when the show is over and I think back about all the topics that we covered, all the material that was covered, the concepts that were taught. So I ended up making an ebook out of the transcripts of all the interviews I did in 2013. I started the show at the end of September 2013. I made a whole ebook out of it, and it's like a primer on liberty. And it's free, and I mean legitimately free. You don't have to give me your email address. You don't have to, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do anything. It's free. So I will link to that over at tomwoods.com/296. All right, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.